entranceway to come inside, there was a like basically a curtain for tznius, a curtain that shielded the entrance. And the very outside, this curtain is really the equivalent. It's the equivalent of Shar Nikanar. It's on the east side, and just like in the Beis HaMikdash, you go up 15 steps. You go 15 steps to come to the come into the Ezras, into the Azara. That's exactly what this is. This is the equivalent. This curtain over here is the equivalent. It is the equivalent of Shar Nikanor. You know all the models of the Beis HaMikdash, they have this very elaborate entranceway. And there's a whole story about the gates, how the gates came about. It was put on a ship. The person's name was Nikanor. He made a donation. He donated two beautiful doors to the Beis HaMikdash. He put them on a ship, and then there was a storm, and the people on the captains, they threw one of the doors off the ship, so the ship should not sink. And he had so much pain, and then they were about to throw the second door off the ship, and he lied down on the door, and he says, "If you throw the door, I'm going with it." And then a miracle, and then they traveled all the way to Yerushalayim, wherever it was. I don't know exactly where they traveled in the world, where they traveled to, and when they arrived there, they discovered miraculously the other door attached itself to the bottom of the ship and was dragged along all the way to the destination, so he didn't lose the other door. So those doors, they never replaced, because even though they could have made more expensive doors, but because there was a miracle which happened with these doors, they decided not to replace the doors. So those doors, the Shar Nikanor, is the equivalent of this mosach. This curtain, which went on the outside of the courtyard, it's the same location. It's shatness. Okay, there is techeles and argaman, telashon. Those are wool, and sheish moshzar is linen. The four different materials. The eshrim amu oirich. It was a height. It was a length of 20. The koima veroichav, and the height. Okay, it was the koima beroichiv chomesha. The eshem amo oirech. I'm sorry, it was 20 amos long. The koima beroichiv chomesh amos. Its height was a width. I guess the long side is 20, so the shortest side going upwards, we're calling it the width, was 5 amos. Leumas, opposite the kali hachotzer, the curtains of the chotzer. Okay, there's only Rashi on this pasuk yitches. There is Rashi. Kemidas Kali Achotzer, it was opposite the court. Now, what does Rashi mean by Kemidas? According to the measurement of the court of the curtains of the Chotzer, I guess that means all of the curtains of the courtyard had the same height. All of the curtains. So this door, I mean, the height of the door was equal to the height of the curtains that surrounded the entire courtyard. The entire courtyard had a height of 5 amos. And the height of the curtain was the same height of 5 amos. That's what it means over here. Lu'umas, it means corresponding to the height of the curtains of the courtyard. Over here, let's see the Targum. Targum over here says, Pasuk Yudches, Ufe Rosas. Okay, there's nothing really to read over because I have no commentary. Okay, so that's okay. That really takes care of what we did over here. So we'll leave with that. All right, so we did over here everything. We did over here. What we need to do, we did from Ravi. Let me just see if we want a second over here. If anything we want to go over here. Alright, so we pretty much did from Ravi, which is. So let's go back now to the beginning of the parasha. Okay, maybe we probably learned this in past years. I'm sure Mayor Appeldorf remembers every single thing that we learned. You can probably repeat verbatim every word of what we learned in the past years. So let's chazar. Chazar is always good. Let's start from the parash from the beginning. Okay? Maybe we'll learn on a different level. We'll learn like more Kabbalistic today. I don't even know who's listening. Is he listening there? He's very quiet. I don't want to disturb him. maybe he's multitasking as he's listening to us. He's, you know, reading a book, watching a movie, fighting with someone.
You know, it's so hard for me to switch it on. It's so hard for you to switch it on.
Why is it hard to switch it on?
When are we doing Kabbalah? You coming over 3 o'clock to do Kabbalah?
Nah, I'm sleeping. Too tired. I can't come to you in the morning. Okay, call me. Call me. See if I wake up. Can't wake up in the morning. I either have two different types. Either I can't fall, either I can't sleep, or I fall into such a sleep, I'm dead. The mamish cannot wake up. It's either one or the other. Nowhere in between. I also have a bris. Who's bris? I'm also going to a bris tomorrow. Who's bris? I'm going to Kaplan.
No.
Clapper? Or Yitzchak?
Clapper.
No, I'm going to a bris.
No, my bris is by Kaplan. I'm 24th and Old Kings Highway.
All right. What time is the bris? What time is the davening?
7:15.
All right.
Too early, right?
No. It's Adaraba. The earlier the better. The earlier the better. I'm barbers much later. Davening, that's, I don't know what, 7:40, the davening.
So we'll see if you bring any tips.
All right, let's learn the beginning of the parasha. Vayakal Moshe, it's called Das Bnei Yisrael, Vayim Alechem, Eilech HaDavarim Asher Tziv Hashem La'asai Yisrael Sam. Rashi. Vayakal Moshe, when was this? L'mach Vazim HaKippurim. Gishyard min ahar. Vu lashon hifil. She'enu oisef anoshim biyadayim elehein nesofim al pi diburoi v'targumai v'achnesh. So what does Rashi say? Rashi first tells us that when this event occurred. Why is that important? I guess it is. This event occurred the day after Yom Kippur. So that most this knows this was after the entire story of the ego. Of Matan Torah. Moshe received the Torah on Vav Sivan, either Vav or Zayin. He went to Shemayim for 40 days, came down on Shavas Batamas, broke the Luchos, went back up for another 40 days, and then went up for another 40 days. 40 days he went up there to pray that Hashem should forgive Klal Yisrael, and then he went up another 40 days to be Mekabel the second Luchos, for a grand total of 120 days. This is Mekabel the Torah, he broke the Luchos, spent 120 days in Shemayim, comes down at the end of the 120 days holding the second Luchos in his hands, and this is Yom Kippur. Moshe comes down, then what happened? Now it's the day after Yom Kippur. Vayakel Moshe, and Moshe is gathering the Jewish people and is telling them to build the Mishkan. So that means, this Pasuk Vayakel, in a way, it's out of order. Parashas, according to Rashi, it comes out that Parashas Vayakel happened before Parashas Terumah and Tetzaveh. Isn't that really what's going on over here? Vayakel Moshe l'mochras Yom HaKippur, the day after Yom Kippur, kishayorad minahor, v'u losh nifl, and does not mean that Moshe himself, he went and he gathered them person by person. It means that he issued a decree that people shall come, so he caused. Hifl is causative. He caused the people to gather together to listen to the word of Hashem. Hashem told him it's now time to build the Mishkan. So I'm a little bit confused of this. It sounds like what Rashi is saying is that these parashas, Vayakel and Pekudei, happened before parashas, Terumah Tetzaveh. That can't possibly be. I guess it means that Terumah Tetzaveh was in Shemayim. Maybe Truman Tetzaveh was when Moshe was in Shemayim. I really don't know. I'm really at loss exactly as the timeline. But Rashi is making one thing very clear. He gathered the people, over here. The day after Yom Kippur, v'hu lo shnifl, fine. What does he have in the tag? It says v'achnesh Moshe. Moshe gathered. Yoskol kinishta divnei Yisrael v'amar lohoin ilein pisko maya. These are the words, the matters. Defaked Hashem. Hashem commanded. Hashem commanded to do them. Okay, now over here in the commentator, he writes, V'achnesh, Loshon Hifil. She'en oisev anashim biyodayim elechein nesav ma'alpi dibura v'targuma v'yachnish perish Moshe lo yosaf elo garam ham leyosef klifi she'esh b'unklis shtei nuschois v'yachnish v'chanesh v'fich chosav she'ikar v'yachnish. Okay, so over here he's coming over here. He's telling you over here in the commentator. This is a very interesting thing over here. What he's saying over here, such a thing I never heard of before. This everything is new for me. Everything is new, and he's saying over here, why did Rashi say the targumoy the achnesh? So he's over here. The commentator is not he's calling the Gur Ari the Maral. The reason why the Rashi is telling us what the targum is because Rashi had two versions of the targum. Did you ever hear something like this? I never heard something like this. I always assumed there was only one version of the targum, and if you'll find different chumashim have a different words, similar words, it's because over the time our version has become corrupt and we lost track of what is exactly the correct girsa. But he's saying over here that the reason why Rashi added into his commentary what the Targum is because Rashi himself had in his possession two different versions of the Targum. And Rashi is coming to tell the people in his time, his day and age, which one is correct and which one is incorrect. That's pretty amazing. And that also comes to emphasize our principle, our Yesoid, is that Rashi wrote a commentary on Targum, Ad Kidei Kach, he has ceased to it to tell us what the correct girsa in the Targum is. If you would just stop and say that Rashi wrote a parish on Chumash, no, and once in a while he quotes from the Targum, so it wouldn't necessarily be Rashi's job to come and tell you the correct version of the Targum. That's not what he's here to do. He's coming to the parish on Chumash. But if you learn, like I always tell you, that Rashi's Sefer was written on the Targum, therefore if Rashi's writing a Sefer on the Targum and there's another version of the Targum that's incorrect, that's why Rashi is goes out of his way to tell you the correct version of the Rashi. In other words, goes to prove my point once again. All roads lead to Rome. All roads, everything indicates that Rashi was the Sefer on Targum. I'm reading it's a Pella what he is. I mean, this isn't the Gur Arya. This is in the Maral. Maral says this. He says, that's why. I'm reading what he says over here. Perish Moshe lo yosef ela garm lahem yosef lefi sheyesh beunkelis shtei nuschois. There's the word v'achnish and the word v'chonash. Over here in my edition, well, my edition is the one that has the sefer in it. In the unkelis section, indeed, there are two different versions, two different words. One is in brackets. He has the regular word v'achnish and then nusach acher uchenash. And the reason why Rashi makes this comment is to tell you what is the correct version. Avol b'targum yoinosan ben uziel hagirsa v'chonash. Aha, he has v'chonash. V'chein v'chumashim, and he says here that in most of the chumashim, it says the word v'chonash. Hakel esam kinoish yosamo. Wow. Kinoish yosamo. V'chein v'yakel Moshe v'Aaron targum v'chonshim Moshe v'Aaron. Another example. Ugvar hir hikshe harav Avraham Mizrahi al Rashi shalafi devarv lama losh nasifa be'anoshim. Unbelievable. He says that the more precise gear source we have is the stack of Vichonash. Wait, what is it? He says over here, Grahik Shaharam al Rashi Shalafi Devarov Lomolosh and Asifa Banoshim. Other Psuk. Okay, I don't know what he's saying over there. All right, fine, whatever this means. Okay, so at least we have a Chiddush over here. Now, what's the next? Okay, next thing it says over here is that's the next pasuk. Okay, so we learned over here at least one chiddush. Learned the Rashi. Rashi is telling us that this took place after Yom Kippur, and Rashi says that Moshe did not go gather the people himself. Rashi caused the people to be gathered by making an announcement. We have over here Rashi tells what is the correct girsa of Targum. That's unusual for Rashi to do so. The Maral explains because Rashi is telling Rashi. Is acknowledging that there's two different girsos and he wants to make sure that we know what the correct girsa is. Another indication that Rashi is writing a sefer on the Targum. Okay. Next pasuk. Sheishes yomim te'aseh melacha. 6 days you shall do melacha. Uvayom ha'shvi yeh lochem kodesh, shall be holy. Shabbos, Shabbosoyim la'Hashem. Kol oisev melacha yumas. Shabbos is called Shabbos, Shabbosoyim. I saw this not related to our learning, but I saw a nice word. Why is Shabbos here called Shabbos, Shabbosoyim? The answer is because over here the pasuk says te'aseh. In this pasuk, we're dealing with people who don't go to work. So if you don't go to work, how is Shabbos really different than the week? A person who sits in koil the whole day doesn't do any melacha. Think about it, you don't do any melacha. So how is Shabbos different than the whole week? If you're doing work, okay, so you're working, so Shabbos you're resting. But if you're not working during the week, so why is it called resting? You're doing... Here in this pasuk it says te'aseh, which means the work will be done on your behalf. You're not going to work. Somebody else is going to do the work for you. So therefore the pasuk says when anyway you're not working, someone's doing the work for you, then the Shabbos is on a higher level. It's not just Shabbos, it's Shabbos. Shabbosoin. It's a double intense dosage of the Shabbos. Shabbos, Shabbosoin. Okay. That is a nice word. Okay? When you're not working during the week, someone's doing melacha, then it turns into Shabbos, Shabbosoyim. Okay, let's go over here this pasuk. So 6 days, te'aseh melacha v'yemashiv sha'yeh lechem kodesh. Shabbos, Shabbosoyim, l'Hashem, kol oisev v'melacha, yumosim, those melacha will be put to death. Let's see what it says in Rashi. She'esh yom hikdim lochem asorah Shabbos, l'tziv l'melach z'mishkon, lo'yma she'enoi doiche es ha'Shabbos. What is Shabbos doing here before the Mishkan to teach you that you're not allowed to be mechallel the Shabbos to build the Mishkan. Nothing you do with the Mishkan is doicher Shabbos. Shabbos, you rest from even building the Mishkan. Okay, that's the Rashi Targum. It says, Shita yomin tis aved, avedito uviyoma shvi'a, yehei l'choin kutsha, shall be holy to you. Shabbos, 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 Sokot, Mashem, Shabbos, before Hashem called the Aved Bey, Avidito, Yisketil, be put to death. Okay, in the commentator, he says, Yisketil, Yehareg, Avil, Kishakavon, Misa, Bidei, Shamayim, Atagim, Abulosh, and Misa. Wow. He says over here in the commentator that when he differentiates between the word Yisket, that sometimes the Targum says the word Yisketil, and sometimes the Targum says the word Misa, and he explains. When we're dealing with death by Bezdin in this world, then it says the word Yisketil. And when it says Misa Bidei Shamayim, it says the word Misa. Okay, two different terms. Misa versus Yisketil. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moshe V'yisechem Yom HaShabbos. Do not kindle fire in row of your dwellings on the Yom HaShabbos. Rashi lo svaru eish yesh merbaseinu oimrim havaru lelav yotzos v'yesh oimrim lechalik yotzos. We spent on this yesterday in the shir, in the morning. Why is there a special pasuk telling us not to kindle fire on Shabbos? So some say it's in order to tell you that just like on this probe, this malacha, we are singling it out, so too every malacha is independent. Don't make a mistake. I think the only time a person is going to be chayiv misa for Shabbos is if he does all 39 categories of labor. No. Even if he does one category, one labor, he's going to be chayiv. Okay, what about and the other opinion says no, it's not the pshat, it's coming to teach you. It's coming to teach you that there is no penalty of death. The penalty will only be a loisa say. See, this is like the juxtaposition. First it says, kol oisev melacha yumas. If you do the other 39 categories of labor, there will be death. But if you only do kindling a fire, then there is no death. There's only going to be a lo sase. Now I want to tell you a chiddush. And what is the Gemara? What was the Gemara's Hamina? The Gemara is saying is that it's coming lechalik yotzes. If not, according to the first opinion, the reason why we have a pasuk telling you that you're not allowed to kindle fire on Shabbos is to teach you that every single one of the 39 categories of labor is independent. And even if a person violates one of the 39 categories of labor, he is going to receive a penalty of either death kares or death or kares, right? Skila, if a person does it amazing and there's no witnesses, it's gonna be kares, and if he does it with witnesses, it's going to be death. So a question is, what are you talking about? If not for this pasuk, you would think the only time you can be michayi for Shabbos is if you did all 39 categories of labor. Now that's far fetched. Is it really possible for a person to do on one Shabbos every single malacha? Is that a normal thing? You're going to take out, you're going to go take out the Masech to Shabbos, go to the Mishnah, and go through every malacha and go do it. Go out to the field and plant. Go out to the field and plow. Go out to the field and winnow. Go out to the field and bake. Go bake and go write. Really? 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 You're only going to be chayiv misa and kares if you do every single malacha on Shabbos. But if you only do anything less than all 39 categories of labor, then you're not going to be chayiv. That is why we need this pasuk to tell me that even if you do only one category of labor, there will be a penalty of death. Again, but if not for the pasuk, you have to do all 39. Come on, impossible. So I want to suggest, Mayor, that what it means here is you do all 39 categories of malacha over many Shabbosos. This Shabbos, the guy happened to write. He wrote his friend a letter. And 2 weeks from now, he went to the field and he planted. A few months later, the crop came in, he went and he winnowed. Another time, he was preparing some hides for the animals, so leather. A kid, l'chayrit, does not mean that a person on one Shabbos is going to do every single category of labor. It's how are you going to be able to go violate every single malach on a regular Shabbos? L'chayra, I'm suggesting what it means is that over an expanded period of time, a person violated every single malach. Oh! And then when he makes it to the finish line after 5, 10 years, 20 years, he's like, oh! Now you're going to get malchus. Now you're going to get misa. Now, I don't have any proof to that. I have no proof to that to say that is correct. However, I'm saying it misvara because it's just not likely that they're on one Shabbos. And there's a very big nafkamina. The nafkamina is that when the Torah now says l'chalik yotzos, what it's telling you is that every Shabbos counts in its own right. If you would not say l'chalik yotzos, it's almost like the Gemara is saying is that it's the Shabbos experience which demands you have to go and live a very long time to have the full Shabbos experience. You'll get a little bit this week, a little bit next week, a little bit in 10 weeks, a little bit. You have to combine all of the Shabboses of your life to get a full appreciation of Shabbos. Along comes the pasuk l'chalik yotz to tell you, no. Every Shabbos stands alone, isolated. It's a day in and of itself. Every Shabbos, you can get the whole possible experience. Okay, that's my Varda. I think maybe it was over on Friday. Let's go weiter. Okay, so this one is over here. What is over here in the commentator? Okay, well, let's do the Targum. Targum over here says, Lo sivarun ishasa, do not kindle a fire. Bechol mos v'necho, in all of you dwelling places, b'yomo d'shabbata, on the day of Shabbos. Let's do the commentator. Why did the pasuk deviate from Yes, over here. the allegos del cost yosham shes only do the maskel halim the tams eish. Our kalis varim bolis af mochis eitz mechem kiz. Even if it's very technical, our niyach liver mash kvarhu lak mevav shabbos ino im inyan like mikro kar mechlal. Koyim aldas and tzivul fishudim shal mikro yesh isu l'shamish l'mulakas hamishkan apilu ish nishara. Now, Deluga, Milifne Shabbos.
Let's say it gets too filled up with fertilizer. What's the
interesting.
Somewhere
the Mitziv says, Yish Ishlo Shtamish of Lechaz and Mishkan.
Yeah, that.
Okay, the thing is very interesting. The thing over here is,
first they pull fertilizer in this area.
We all know the Karoim, the Karoim, the Karaites, they held that on Shabbos you're not allowed to derive benefit from a pre-existing fire. Lo sevaru esh, do not allow, basically saying, do not allow a fire to be kindled. B'chol mosh lo sechem yom haShabbos, which according to the Karaites, which is apikursis, is that you're not allowed to have any fire that was kindled before Shabbos, even before Shabbos. It goes without saying that you're not allowed to go and kindle a fire on Shabbos itself. You're not allowed even to make a fire Erev Shabbos and allow the fire to burn on Shabbos. And this is, and that is apikorsis. The prohibition, according to everyone, is you're not allowed to start a fire on Shabbos. But if the fire was burning before Shabbos, you're of course allowed to let the fire continue to kindle, to burn on Shabbos. And this is one of the reasons why there is a special mitzvah to eat something hot on Shabbos. To demonstrate that we are not from the Karaites. Because a Karaite would not eat challah. A Karaite would not eat challah. Challah, by definition, is hot. Okay, by definition, it must be hot. If challah is cold, you're not yotze. And why must it be hot? To demonstrate that if it's hot, there's a fire that is burning on Shabbos. Oh, but it says in the pasuk, "Lo sevaru esh b'chol mosh osech b'yom haShabbos." How can we have hot soup, hot challah? Hot anything? How are we allowed to even any fire? How could there be any fire that is burning on Shabbos? But lo svar esh, and the answer is that's apikorsis. Lo svar esh, you're not allowed to light a fire, but a fire that's already been burning, you're allowed to derive benefit from a pre-existing fire on Shabbos. So along comes the nitziv. Right. Rav Nosson Tzvi. Rav Nosson, how was his name? Nitziv. Nosson Tzvi Yehuda. Berlin. Nosson Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. And what does he say? He says, that's the pshat on this pasuk. You're not allowed to have a pre-kindled fire. For what? For the Mishkan, for building the Mishkan. It's an incredible chizur, he says. This pasuk is juxtaposed to the sugya of building the Mishkan. Maybe you'll argue, okay, the Torah says don't do any milocha on Shabbos for the building of the Mishkan. Okay, I'm not going to write, I'm not going to go kill animals, I'm not going to dye the wool, I'm not going to stitch and sew, I'm not going to do any of that stuff. But, because that's a malacha. But what I'm going to do is, I'm going to light a fire before Shabbos and let it burn the whole Shabbos. I'll add enough fuel, turn on the range, turn on the stove, whatever it is. And I'll bring my metal and whatever thing I need to do that I can do with fire, I will do on Shabbos. As long as it does not violate another malacha. Along comes this pasuk and says, do not use a pre-existing fire, even though the fire was kindled before Shabbos, and you're not really doing any, you're not lighting a new fire on Shabbos, you're only being nene from a pre-existing fire, just like we on Shabbos, our nene from Cholent, hot soup or any type of illumination near Shabbos. We're nene from fire on Shabbos. So as long as you light it before Shabbos, it's permissible. So maybe when it comes to the Mishkan, the Zelbazach will light a fire before Shabbos. And any benefit that we can... No, we're talking about the building of the Mishkan. We're not talking about the service. The building. Of course, yes. Gzeres HaKosov, yes. But we're talking now about the building of the Mishkan. And we're making this increasing...
Why can you do all the Malachas in the Mishkan?
One is called service, and one is called like a hechsher mitzvah. You're making a mokai, a place of service. So we say the nitziv was to guy manish to come tonight just for this chiddush. An awesome chiddush we're saying over here. This is a very famous pasuk. The Karaites are of the opinion, Sabikorsis, is that you're not allowed to derive any benefit from fire on Shabbos. That's how they learned Pshat in this pasuk. And they were a very great danger to the Jewish people back then. And in order to, and Chazal did many things to show them up. And one of the things they did to show them up was to be very makbid Ner Shabbos. Okay, Ner Shabbos is also a manifestation of the rejection of the Karaites, because you're nene from the Ner Shabbos. Cholent, hot food, is also a demonstration to reject them, that you're allowed to be nene from Ner on Shabbos. And the prohibition is don't make a new fire on Shabbos, but a pre-existing fire, you're allowed to have Hanor from on Shabbos. So along comes the Nitziv, and he takes this idea of the Karaites, and he says, no, the Karaites, what they said is correct. But not Binogeya, our observance of Shabbos. Their pshat in the pasuk is correct in the context of where it's written. And here it's written in the context of building the Mishkan. The previous pasuk says you're not allowed to build the Mishkan on Shabbos. Do not do any milocha. I would argue, okay, I'm not going to write, I'm not going to bake, I'm not going to dye the wool, but you know what? I'll light a fire before Shabbos, and I'll use that fire to do whatever I can possibly do within the framework of that's permissible in preparation to build the Mishkan on Shabbos. Along comes the pasuk and says, no! When it comes to the building of the Mishkan, even a pre-existing fire cannot be used to do any form of labor for the Holy Shabbos, for the building of the Mishkan on the Shabbos. Amazing. Mamash, amazing. He's coming along and he's giving the Karaites legitimacy in their pshat in the pasuk. He's just coming to say that they're misguided in taking that and using it in reference to us, our observance. That's not what the pasuk means. The context of the pasuk is referring to the building of the Mishkan. And even the building of that, that's unbelievable, what the Nitziv says. Unbelievable. Okay, but that's not seemingly what it says over here in the Targum. The Targum says, over here is I don't know. We know it's totally clear what the Targum says, but Rashi over here says Rashi does not go with that. Rashi clearly learns that this pasuk over here is saying over here, do not kindle a fire, and why? Either lechalik yotzas or lelav yotzas. All right, Baruch Hashem, we learned some new things here tonight. Never would have known these things if not for learning with you. Thank you for coming.
Kevin has been talking about the Nitziv
for
the last couple of days, the history.
Oh, you see that? Hashkocha. We're learning the Nitziv tonight.
And he's talking how the machloikas that they had, there were two machloikas and the Velojim, how that spread into all the yeshivas.
What are the two machloikas then?
One was in